Christ our hope. Bearing that message of Christian faith, Pope Benedict XVI left Rome for the United States Tuesday. One of the reasons the Holy Father is going at this time, to celebrate the bicentenary of the establishment of the first four Catholic dioceses and the first archdiocese in the U.S. The Pope's six-day apostolic journey takes him first to Washington, D.C., where he will meet church and faith leaders and faculty and students of Catholic universities. He is due to see President George Bush at the White House on Wednesday, and on Thursday will preside Mass for some 45,000 faithful at Washington's brand-new Nationals Baseball Park. Friday, the Pope will be in New York, headquarters of the United Nations, where he will deliver what is already expected to be a historic discourse. He will be only the third Pope to speak to the General Assembly. Pope Benedict's visit to the UN was planned to coincide with the 60th anniversary celebrations of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. While in New York, the Pope will visit Ground Zero, the site where the Twin Towers stood before the tragedy of September 11, 2001. He will conclude his journey with a Mass at Yankee Stadium. Well, earlier we talked with Sean Lovett, who is in the U.S. following the Pope's visit for us.
Comparisons can be odious, often tedious, and mostly useless. But we love them just the same. So it comes as no surprise that on this side of the Atlantic, the favorite topic of conversation that continues to intrigue journalists, editors, self-proclaimed Vatican experts, even taxi drivers, is what makes this pope different from the last one? And out comes the familiar list of adjectives used to describe first-time visitor Benedict XVI, as opposed to John Paul II, who touched American soil no less than seven times. It turns out that Benedict is less known, more academic, older, even shorter than his predecessor, none of which is exactly helpful in terms of understanding the man who will be starting his first visit here as Pope in just a few hours' time. Still, it gives people a frame of reference, or so I'm told. Alternatively, after all options on that score have been exhausted, the topic turns to what makes this trip to America by a Pope different from the last one. Well, since I was in America on five of the last trips with the last Pope, I have to admit that the temptation to expound upon my own comparisons is great. Two considerations hold me back. One, the fact that most of what could be said on the matter has already been said. Two, the growing awareness that it's not just the Pope that's different. It's America, the Church, the world. It's us. The last time a Pope was in the United States was in 1999. Pre-September 11th, pre-sexual abuse scandals, pre-globalization, pre-YouTube. When John Paul II addressed the United Nations in October 1995, the issue was the rights of peoples and the rights of nations in a post-Cold War world searching for a new equilibrium. The disoriented world Benedict XVI will address, through its representatives at the UN General Assembly this Friday, is looking for more than equilibrium. It's desperate for direction and meaning. The Church in America that Benedict will meet and greet through its bishops in Washington, D.C., and the faithful at the three public masses, is a greater mishmash of cultures and races than ever before. Immigration from Asia, Africa, and above all Latin America, means that over half of America's 67 million Catholics trace their heritage to somewhere other than Europe. Pope Benedict XVI will be scrutinized, interpreted, and commented upon through the lens of a whole new kind of media culture that's more immediate, subjective, and unforgiving than anything we've ever known. When John Paul II was here last, journalists didn't post reports on their blogs or upload images taken with their mobile phones onto MySpace. Which means there's actually no realistic way of knowing what kind of response he'll get until he gets it. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.